kids are going upstairs. As I was about to say, we had 14 of our young people went to Tulsa to camp, youth camp, last week, and I wanted them to take a few minutes or as much time as they want to share what God was speaking to them, and we're going to enjoy it. I want everyone that went, well, maybe not Noah, but I want them all to come up here and testify, because even if they just come up and say, I had a good time, you know, then we'll squeeze their arm and make them say something else. But no, I want you to say what's on your heart. Say what's on your heart. Don't feel obligated, but I want everybody that went to camp to come up and at least smile and say you enjoyed going, so we'll know to send you again next year.
Amen, 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 amen. So as Pastor was saying, we took a group to a camp called Camp Awakening, and it's put on by Faith Christian Fellowship, FCF, out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we went 2 years ago. I'll just give you a little background. This guy you see here, his name is John Coates. He's the FCF youth coordinator, so he's the head of these camps. And FCF is an organization that oversees some churches and some pastors and allows for collaboration with each other. It allows for a fellowship, what it's called, FCF, Faith Christian Fellowship. And so we got hooked up with these people, with this organization, and we've been going to this camp for, well, we only went twice. We didn't go last year, but we went the year before. Camp is, if anybody's ever been to camp, like camping, let's just say camping, or you've been out of your element for a period of time, you know that it can change your life. Even being away from your status quo for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a day, a week. How many of us have ever been camping before, but you really went camping, like you stayed in a tent and sleeping bags, and you didn't have any of the, you had to cook your stuff on a fire and whatnot and boil the water. If you've ever been camping, it changes you. You appreciate a little bit more about the things that we have in I'm not going to say it right, but in normal society, right? And this camp, Camp Awakening, it really is an awakening. And for these seven that went, it really did, and talking to them, it really has changed their lives, and I know it changed their lives for the better. I want to. Before we do, we have a video that we could play, and I'm going to wait for a little bit for that video. I want everybody, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy, and we'll get to you guys in a second. I'm just going to say something, all right? Is that okay? All right with that? Okay. 2 Timothy, there was a theme about the camp that I just kind of want to share. And the theme was based off of a scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm reading out the New International, the NIV version. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." Now, in other versions, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind." And you can plug in synonyms any way you want to with fear. Fear is, you know, the lack of boldness. Fear is being timid. Fear is being afraid. And that was one of the main themes, is that as Christians, as I'll let these guys explain to you, but as Christians, we have something on the inside of us that we don't have to be afraid. We have something on the inside of us that we don't have to be timid. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be shy. We don't have to be, right? We have a spirit. It tells us right here in 2 Timothy, we have a spirit of power, of love and of sound mind, self-discipline. And that was the main theme at this camp, is to be bold, because there's boldness on the inside, and that resonated to the youth. But also, think about our own self. We're the same. If God is no respecter of persons, then you're the same. Then you're the same. Then you have it on the inside. But that was the main theme of the camp, is boldness, and you don't have a spirit of fear. And do you want to do it now or do you want to do it later? I have to check with my other half. Okay. All right. Yeah. You play the thank you first? Okay. We're going to play the video. And if you could get the lights, wherever you're at, if you could stand up and get the lights, that'd be great. Part of the video, there's the sound quality is not that good. Something happened with the microphone and the sound. But this is give you a recap of what these youth and what you helped by your giving to send and get out of it. So we'll just play one and we'll go with that. Hi. So you can see they did a lot of different things. We had, just to give you a little bit of explanation on some of that, we had, in the morning times, we had breakfast all together, then we had a time of worship and word, and then we had workshops. And you saw some of those workshops, and they'll tell you a little bit more about maybe what they've done in the workshops, what they learned about the workshops. What the workshops were, there was a worship workshop where people learned how to, you know, come together collectively and praise and worship. And then there was a human video or like a skit one, which you saw. And then there was media and arts. They learned how to use programming and video skills to put videos together and whatnot. And then there was a dance workshop. And then there was a church design workshop to kind of say that, you know, this is our home. This is, we come here, and so let's make it nice. And so there was a workshop on how to take, you know, really cheap cardboard things and make it into something that looks nice and without breaking budget, you know, and making lights and whatnot. And so that's what they, was there another one? That was it. Okay. But that's what they went through. And then we had lunch, and then they went back to the workshops, and then we had our Camp Wars, all right? So this year's Camp Wars theme was Hunger Games, right? And so if you've seen the movies or watched the book or seen the movies or read the books, and you know what Hunger Games is, but it has to do with being afraid and being bold to go out and do things. And so that was the scoring system, was all that. And so you saw that we had played soccer on our knees. You saw that there was a scavenger hunt. What else was there? There was a tug of war in the mud pit. Then there was a puzzle that you had to run through the mud pit. The pool, you saw there was swimming. We had to get, each team had to get 36 pennies out of the bottom of the pool, and so you had one at a time. So it was interesting, but you know, it's relationship building. You know, it's relationship building, and that's what it's about: getting to know other people in like faith, getting to know other people with the same backgrounds, getting to know other people with different backgrounds, learning where people come from, and that's what all of that team building stuff is all about. And then we had dinner, and then we had night worship and night word, and it was very powerful. But I'll let these guys explain everything to you. You want to say something first? All right, who wants to go first before I volunteer you?
Okay. I went because Nina didn't think she was going to be able to go, and then they needed somebody to help out with the girls. At the last second, she decided to go, and it was really nice. Everybody got along really well, and it was nice to see how, like, kids from all over, there was people from Wisconsin, from New Mexico and surrounding states, Oklahoma, and everybody got along really well. There's nothing crazy, and it was just an awesome time.
Well, it was a lot of fun, as you could see. Like, I don't know, it was fun. And the second night, I think it was, we had a pre-service prayer, and God just told me, go to Galatians 6:7, it was 6:7, and it says that he plants a seed in your soul, like, what you could choose to plant a seed of good or bad, and stuff like that. Like, it just touched me, and I think it was the last night, it just felt like God came down and touched me, and I was like, it was powerful. He told me that you could do anything through him. He has the power. You could do anything. There's no limit to it. That's pretty much it.
So I'm going to say what God told me. I think it was the Wednesday night. And John Coates had said that there was something going to happen, like to be like expecting something. And so the preacher there was John Smithwick, and there was other, but him was for the night. And so, like, he would, he has, like, this ministry called Global Ventures, and he's, like, a ministry going around the world and preaching and healing the sick. And he had done an altar call and asked if you had a feel in your heart that you had a calling to go to the nations and preach. So I really felt in my spirit that I should have went up. So I went, and he prayed for me. Well, everybody that went up there, he prayed. And so, like, when he was praying for me, I felt God. He told me what I'm supposed to do for my life. And That night he told me, he said my name, Lucille Marie Serrato. I know that you are ready. And then the next day they had prayed, they asked everybody, they prayed for everybody, like all the youth that were there. And John Coates and his wife were praying. And when it came up to my turn, the wife told me, you are ready. And so on Wednesday, God had told me that I was ready. And then the second day, he confirmed it to me by. So I thought it was just amazing, and I don't know how to explain the feeling. And they were also talking about how to not worry about the what ifs. What if that person does not get healed? Or like, what if they think I'm a weirdo, or like, I don't know. And it's just, we need to stop being like self-conscious and start being God-conscious. And it's just being about like bold and being on fire for God. And like, I feel really fired up right now. And I don't know, but you guys, and you guys have it too. It's just that you need to pray in the Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit, because that's what they said in the Bible. It says, those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And they also said that you don't have to go far away to see the miracles, because it also says in the Word of God that you could do greater things because you have the greater one on the inside of you. You don't have to. You could see it in your state, your city, your country. And you just need to have faith, and because the opposite of faith is unbelief. And so, yeah.
Next.
All right. All those days that I was there felt like forever, but now that I think about it, it was like so short. I met so many different people. Some were really nice, some were annoying, stayed up every single night, every second. They were hyper and running around. Besides that, like, everything was awesome, because I met this one girl named Afina. And we shared so many interests that we just, like, got along, like, no problem. And I started thinking, like, why can't more people be like this? That's because we have to talk to them ourselves. There's a story that I think it was John Smithwick or one of the Johns. There was, like, four of them. One of the Johns was like, okay, God told me to go pray for this guy because he was getting a computer. It ended up that that guy actually needed him to say, like, hey, I need you here. God needs you here. In the end of that day that he wanted to go and say, like, hey, you should come back here. We should talk. That guy committed suicide, and he didn't know the word of God. So if you're, like, thinking about, like, hey, you need to talk to this person, just do it. Doesn't matter if you're, like, oh, no, I don't think I want to. That's yourself saying, like, no, you're too awesome for this guy. No. Or, like, you're too crappy, you're not going to get into this guy's head. Just talk to the person. If they don't accept it, they'll be, like, thinking later on, they'll be like, wow, that person actually talked to me. Like, you don't know what effect you're going to have on people. So that's, like, what I got out of it. Plus, God was talking to me. He's like, if you think you're good at something, do it. Okay?
Yeah. All right. There you go.
I had fun, like, yeah, it was pretty good, and, well, I definitely heard a lot from God. Like, I don't really want to share all of it, because it's, like, it's just for me, like, to, well, change things in my life, and, well, it was good.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Well, Camp Awakening, it was definitely a life-changing experience. Well, me and my brother, we hadn't come to church before camp for, like, it was about 10 months. I think it was when Nina first got pregnant the second time. That's when we stopped coming to church. And when we came back, it was like last month, I think. Yeah, about last month. And they were going to go to Camp Awakening, and my brother had went 2 years ago with them. And they were telling me that it was a really cool experience and that I should go. And, like, I got alborotada. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go. You know, it seems like so much fun. And, well, at camp, like Lucy said, on Wednesday night they had done an altar call, and I had went up there because my spiritual life felt like it was dry. I felt disconnected when I worshipped or when I prayed. I just felt like Jesus wasn't there, you know. I didn't feel anything when I would pray and stuff. And, well, that night I stayed up in the front and I was praying, and I just felt this warmness come, like I felt this warmness. It's really hard to explain, but like when you feel it, you know, that he's there with you. And I was praying, I was like, God, show me that you haven't left me. Show me that you're still here. And I was sitting there. He told us to sit down. If you need a touch from heaven, just to sit on the floor and pray. And so I did. I was sitting there and I was telling him, Lord, touch me. I'm ready. I'm here. And so I just, I did. I felt like a hand touched my back. And I heard a whisper in my ear, and I said, I never left. I've always been here. And it was so good to feel it, you know, to hear it from him. It felt so good. At camp, my knee was actually hurting. It hurt a lot. And I don't know why, but, like, if I would put too much weight on it or if I would kneel down, and it would hurt a lot. And so one of the games I was playing at camp, I actually hurt it. I was running, and I hurt, it was hurting even more. And I had told Mitch, I was like, Mitch, can you check out my knee? It's hurting a lot. And you know what he told me? Go see the nurse. And I was like, okay. So I went to go see the nurse, and she said she couldn't do anything for me because I don't know why, but yeah, she said she couldn't do anything. And I told Christina, and Christina told them to give me ice. So I iced it for a couple of minutes, and it still hurt. I still felt pain and stuff. And at camp, we had pre-service prayer, and like I would listen to all these stories, you know, oh, you can heal people, you have the power to heal people. And I would always doubt myself, you know. I said, I'm only 17, how can I heal someone? And during the pre-service prayer, my knee was still hurting, and I just laid hands on it. I was like, God, heal my knee. And that's when I felt that warmness, and the pain was gone. I didn't feel anything at all. And it was amazing. And, yeah. So, that's pretty much it.
All right, this morning when I was getting ready, I started getting scared to come to church. I started feeling this fear, nervousness to come and talk in front of you guys. Then I started praying, and I started realizing that it was just the devil trying to tell me not to go, because he can sense when something good is going to happen to you. Amen. And I just remembered what we learned at camp, you know, not to be afraid, not to be ashamed. And at camp, it was the third day. Okay, well, let me start with this. The first 2 days, I had been worshiping God. You know, I was praying, trying hard. I couldn't feel anything. Couldn't feel his presence. But the third day, I just got this weird sensation. I just began to shake, and I couldn't control it. Like, I wasn't cold or anything. I was just shaking uncontrollably. And that night, one of the preachers was talking about being possessed, and I kind of got scared, you know. But I thought to myself, I have God living inside of me. This is no demon, it's God. He's trying to speak to me. He's trying to tell me something. So then I hear, the next thing I hear is the preacher say, start calling people up to get prayed for. And the shaking gets more intense, and my breathing starts, I can't explain my breathing. It was just fast breathing, and I couldn't control any of it. And so I went up there to get prayed for. And it wasn't just a little touch of God. It was like an explosion inside of me. And he just, I felt this feeling I haven't felt for so long. You know, it's been months and months that I have felt God's presence. And I forgot what I was going to say. Hold on. I forgot what I was going to say about that. But during that week, there was times in the cabin when at night there was kids with their phones still. And that was pretty much a distraction for people at camp, having their phones out. And when people were trying to sleep, they would turn on this worldly music. And I felt that it was wrong. So I wasn't ashamed to tell them. I wasn't scared to tell them, you know, you need to turn that off. You know, if it's not worshiping God, why would you listen to it? So they listened to me, and I guess they turned it off. But it just kept on going, and I kept telling them. There was this one kid that I felt God wanted me to pray for him, because he told me his story before he came to camp. He didn't even know what it meant to be baptized. He didn't know what that meant. He didn't know what a true Christian was. He didn't know much about revelations or much about being saved. And he just told me his story. And I went up to him and I just told him so much. I wish I could have told him more. I wish I had the chance to tell him more. But I prayed for him. And I still pray for him. I was praying for him last night. And for everybody at camp, even the ones I didn't talk to. I don't know everybody's story, but I'm pretty sure everybody has their own different story. People have been through things worse than me, and I just continue to pray for them. But I don't know. Camp was a lot of fun. I recommend it to anybody that hasn't gone next year or something. So that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm trying really hard not to cry, but especially now that I've spent so much time with the youth and everything, I really feel like they're all my younger brothers and sisters, and so it makes me proud and excited. And especially when I see the younger boys like David and Yvonne, they remind me so much of my brother in Washington. And so I see them, and I can see my brother's future. Like, I can see how on fire he's going to be for God. So I'm trying not to shake and cry and just, you know, freak out. But I had felt a couple months ago when Mitch and Nina had been talking about camp and planning on how they were both going to be able to go, how Nina was going to be able to join Mitch and the youth at camp with both of their kids. And I had thought to myself, oh, it would be fun to go with them on the trip just to take care of Sophia and Noah. And I thought, oh, well, that would be fun. And I just left it at that. Well, I felt in the days to follow like God was really telling me, you need to go to do this. You need to go to help them and to serve, you know, the youth pastors, my pastors, with whatever I can. Just go and serve. You don't have to be a part of camp. You don't have to go to camp. Just go to serve in any way that you can. And so I felt that really strongly, and I was talking to Nina's mom, Rosie, yesterday, and I love something that she said. She said that that I was a behind-the-scenes person. So I was someone that God had wanted me to go, but behind the scenes, nothing, you know, out front or anything with the youth in particular. And so I went to Oklahoma with them so I could help watch the kids and take care of them during the afternoon and evening when Nina went for the evening services to be with the youth and to help out at Camp Awakening. And every night that she left, every evening that she left, I felt really strongly like the devil was trying to attack me. I felt I would get anxiety. I would feel really nervous having both of their kids in the hotel room by myself, even though, I mean, they're little angels, you know? Like any 2.5-year-old and 4-month-old can be. They were on their best behavior, you know. There weren't any problems, no issues, nothing scary, anything like that. But I just felt this anxiety on the inside of me. You know, they would be asleep in the bed next to me, and I'd be laying down just praying in the spirit. You know, the devil would put thoughts in my head, like, oh, what if, you know, what if you fall asleep and you wake up the next morning and Nina's not there? She didn't come back. Or, you know, things like that. Just really horrible things that the devil can put on the inside of you to scare you and to make you not want to do what God has you doing. And I felt very strongly like that. And thinking about it last night, I was reminded of Jesus when the Spirit led him into the wilderness for the devil to test him. And that's how I felt like it was, because I was there by myself. You know, Mitch and Nina didn't have phone service. Nina told me later on that she was receiving my messages, but I didn't receive any of hers. So I didn't know if, you know, I could contact her in case of anything. And so I really felt like God was building me up in my faith and building me up in prayer. And I mean, at that point, I only had him to lean on. I couldn't call Nina and say, hey, you guys are doing all right, right? You guys are going to be here in a little while, or anything like that. I didn't have any of that. All I had was God and prayer and just asking him for guidance and for discernment and asking him to open my ears to anything I needed to pray for, specifically for camp or for whoever was traveling or for Nina traveling back and forth, because the camp was a half an hour away, you know, in a 15-passenger van, that rickety van. And so, yeah, that was one of the experiences that I had where God really built up my faith. And I'm going to try not to take very long. And I have two other things that I really, really feel like God needs me to share. Thursday? We went exploring. Was it Thursday? Wednesday. Wednesday, we were by Lake Eufaula, which is the largest lake in Oklahoma. It has a bunch of, like, campgrounds and different state parks and things like that. And so we had decided to go to go to one of the state parks and to do a little exploring. Okay. And, you know, a few times I had mentioned to Nina, oh, look, there's the office and there's the, you know, we could look for a park ranger and we can ask someone for what we were looking for specifically, which was a swimming beach. But little did we know the beaches were like, you know, the beach of the man-made lake was not exactly Cancun or anything. And so we were looking for something that looked like a typical beach and we couldn't find it. We were exploring, looking around. Eventually, I took out the GPS on my phone. And we decided, you know, the kids had already fallen asleep in the back seat. We decided, okay, well, let's just try and get back on the highway so we can just go back into town and we'll do something there. We'll go swimming or we'll do something there at the hotel. And so we had done that. We were following the GPS, and little did we know the roads that it was taking us on were dirt, mud, sticky, something that should not be driven on with a 15-passenger van at all. And very tight. There was a couple of places where it was like just a one-way area, you know, bunch of trees and things. And we were only 2 miles away from the highway, but with all the trees, you couldn't see anything. It looked like we were out in the boonies of Oklahoma. And it was just, for me personally, it was just a very scary hour, basically. It was like an hour, hour and a half that we were kind of stuck out there. You know, the tires were spinning. We were fishtailing a little bit. Not very fun. Thank God the kids were sleeping, because all we needed was Sophia, you know, I want to go home. I want to go home. We stuck. We didn't need to hear that. So Nina had began to pray, and I had began to pray in the Spirit, and Nina began to pray out loud, and we were just thanking God for our safe arrival to the hotel, for getting us out and onto the clear path, getting us onto dry paths is what my spirit was telling me to pray for, you know. And Nina was thanking God that his angels were surrounding the van and that they were pushing us through the mud, because we were going not even a mile an hour, just barely inching through the mud and the water. We passed a creek with a cow that was swimming in it. It was very unsettling to the stomach, you know, where we were driving through. Couldn't see anything in front of us but trees and mud and large rocks. We prayed, and I told Nina when we got out of there, you know, I felt a fear, but it was like a godly fear. Like if I would have turned around and looked through the back window, I would have seen like ginormous angels pushing the van. I didn't want to turn around. I didn't want to see that. I was just okay with believing it. I didn't need to see that. And I it was amazing how God pushed us through that mud and got us safely to the hotel. You know, it was just me, her, and the kids. And God really, that situation really built up my faith even more and my boldness in prayer to see, you know, the godly example that Nina was for me during that time. I felt like crying. Nina was praying, you know, rebuking this and that from the mud, go away, be dry, angels push us, let's go. You know, her faith and my faith put together allowed God to push us out of there and to get us through. And I just feel like that was just amazing. It was a miracle, really. We were only 2 miles away, but I mean, we're in a 15-passenger van and mud. So, the odds of us getting out there without God were pretty slim to none. Someone would have had to come and rescue us. And I could picture, like, a helicopter driving in and us, like, lifting up Noah and Sophia, climb, you know, or something interesting like that. I thank God that he got us out of there. And one other quick little thing that I'd like to share with you guys is last night when I was, let me start. About 6 months ago, 6 or 7 months ago, I was in Phoenix and I was with my mom. I had an accident where I cut my foot. I had sliced the bottom of my foot, needed 10 stitches, had to go to the emergency room. My mom had paid the emergency room bill. Because I'm on my dad's insurance. It hadn't gone through yet, so she just paid in cash the emergency room bill. Well, last night when I was going through my mail, I found a check from the emergency room, from the urgent care center, for a full refund of what my mom had paid in the emergency room, and it was in my name. So I called her, and I said, oh, do you want me to send this to you? I guess my dad's insurance covered it all, and she said, no, keep it. And so I said, I'll keep it. You know, not that I'll have anything interesting to use it for. I have bills and gas and, you know, all those adult fun things that we need to pay for. And so I thought, well, that's great. And I was looking at the numbers on the check, and I thought to myself, wait a minute. And I calculated the 3 weeks that I've missed from work for the past 2 months. And if I would have been at work, it was the exact down to the penny, exact amount I would have made in the 3 weeks that I have been gone from work. So God fully paid me. I had a paid vacation. And it was just amazing. It's just amazing. And just, it's awesome to see how when you put everything, anything, your finances, your life, you know, your security, everything, when you put it in God's hands, he will take care of you to the maximum and even more if you just have that faith and you believe that he'll do it. He'll take care of you no matter what. And so I just praise God for that and for the awesome experience this whole past week has been. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Awesome. God is awesome. He's awesome. As you kind of heard from the different testimonies that were shared, I was not sure if I was going to be able to go. Just having, you know, a second child, and Noah's only 4 months old now, and you know, with Sophia being almost two, I was not sure that I was going to be able to go. I really wanted to go, really, really bad. And there wasn't any, like Christina said, there wasn't any other girl chaperones that were going to be able to go. And we have a lot of girls going, it's like, so we need somebody. And Christina had volunteered to go, which was awesome. And I still felt like, you know, how can I not go? Like, how can I not, you know, this would be like the first, like, trip that I would not be a part of. And I don't know, I just felt like I needed to go, and you know, then God had put it on Jasmine's heart to volunteer to come with us, and so I was able to go, and during the day, I would hang out with Jasmine and the kids, and we would try to, you know, find stuff to do around the area, and or hang out and swim at the hotel or whatever, and then at night, I would head out and go to the camp with them, which was still hard because, you know, they would play the recap video of, like, all this great stuff they did during the day. And I'm like, you know, like, yeah, I had fun. But, you know, I mean, I wish that I would have been there the whole time. But God really had you know, a lot for me. And I told Mitch, I'm like, I feel kind of guilty because, like, this is like a youth camp, you know, and I'm sitting down and I'm like writing notes, like furious and like, you know, trying to take, you know, and just soak in everything that I can, because it was, you know, it wasn't, I encourage you, if we're planning on going next year tentatively, and if you have the opportunity to want to come and volunteer and be a leader, you know, those of you that maybe are graduated or over 18, you can help. You can still help us. Like Christina went with us, and it just, even though it's a youth camp, it fed me so much. I was there at night, and it was John Smithwick from Global Ventures that spoke, and something that really, 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 really spoke to me. Lord, you guide my words. Was how he does a lot of missionary work. That's what he does, and he goes into these unreached countries. And you know, it reminded me a lot of like the work that we hear like our pastors doing, and places that, you know, these little villages that aren't on the maps, and they're, you know, they haven't heard the name of Jesus, and just hungry people. And he talked a lot about miracles that he's seen happen. He has a it's globalventures.tv. It's through a Christian network, and they document when they go out. And so if you have an opportunity, look it up online and watch some of the videos. But he was talking, one of the main stories he talked about was how, like, him and his team, they would go and they would search out, like, these voodoo priests and, you know, like, the witch doctors and like, the people that would hold the villages hostage with their idol worship, but through fear. You know, he would talk about how like the villages would have their idols set up, and you would see like the food, you know, placed by it, or they would give it offerings or whatever. And you know, the whole thing was to appease you know, the spirit of whatever idol it was, and how, you know, the people, they didn't know God, but they knew what evil was. Because the Bible says that when we worship idols, we're really worshiping, you know, demons. And so when they would worship these idols, they would have manifestations of the demons that would torment them, which would prompt, you know, more offerings and more things to try to appease these spirits. And it was really interesting. He had shared about one village that they had gone to, and they shared about Jesus and about God and the devil. And they told him, they said, God and Jesus, we don't know, but we do know the devil. And so it's just, he talked so much about bringing, you know, the light, bringing the Holy Spirit onto the scene, and how these people would have miraculous healings. And they're documented on this TV show. Like, there was one we all saw about this guy who had a stroke and in bed for a year and a half, and all of the muscles on one side had wasted away, and it was like stiff, and because he wasn't using it. And they started praying for him, and they got him up out of bed, and you would see like his leg would start to twitch as the muscles would begin to grow and to be stimulated. And by the time they had finished done praying for him, he was walking, and, you know, documented things that you could watch, you know. And it was really, really awesome. And one thing that he had said that just got me so much was how, you know, we the church are supposed to be, we're called to be divine enforcers of Satan's defeat and Jesus's reign on the earth. Because, you know, we know that, you know, Satan is the ruler of this world. I mean, obviously we know all of that stuff with angels and demons and all that. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took the power away from him. He took the keys away from him. And we are to bring heaven's reign. We're to bring the victory of Christ to earth and bring that reality and remind him, you're defeated. You're defeated. And amen, amen. It was awesome. And, you know, what he said that our job as Christians is to plunder hell and populate heaven. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to plunder hell and populate heaven. And I read yesterday on the drive home, God's so awesome. I don't know about any of you guys, but I usually get carsick if I read in the car. So I get carsick when I read in the car, and I was like, and I hadn't read my Bible that morning, and I was like, God, I need to read my Bible. And I'm like, well, I'm going to probably get carsick, and then that'll be a whole whatever thing. And I've been telling them, all of them, I'm like, you better not puke. You better not, you know, whatever. If you tell me, if you have to do it, you tell me before it's happening. You know, like, and so I'm like, okay, so if it's me, they're all going to be like, yeah, like whatever. And so I'm like, no, I need to read my Bible. And I kid you not, I read for like a couple hours and I didn't get carsick. And I was like, God, it, you know, and he was just speaking to me through the word, and it was him. And he gave me the scripture in Matthew when Jesus is the Pharisees are accusing Jesus of getting his power from Satan, basically. He said, well, you can cast out demons because you're powered by the prince of demons. And that's when he talks about how, you know, a kingdom divided cannot stand, and Satan cast, you know, he's not going to be casting out himself. And he said in verse 28, but if I am casting out demons, this is Jesus, he said, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Verse 29, for who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder the house. That is us. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Spirit has not given us, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So we have a stronger man than Satan in us. Yes, he has power, and we know, you know, obviously he torments people and twists people all over the world. And that was something so strong that God was speaking to me about how, you know, sometimes, at least in my own life, you know, sometimes you get afraid to pray against evil or like demonic things or rebuking Satan, because then what if he shows up, you know, like, you know, and it's like, that's an oxymoron. If you're praying against him, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of what he's going to do, because if we really know who we are, if we really know what's on the inside of us, then we know that he's a defeated foe. And so that really got me so strong, that we are supposed to plunder hell and populate heaven. We have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. And really, really, you know, salvation is the greatest miracle of all. Salvation is. When Jesus sent out the disciples, or when he sent out, you know, all those guys, and he said, go and do this, cast out demons, heal the sick. He said that he gave authority over all, you know, demonic things and sickness and disease. And when they came back, they were excited, and they were telling Jesus, like, hey, you know, even demons listen to us, and there's miracles and all these things happening. And he told them, don't be excited that these things are happening. Be excited that your name is written in the book of life. And, you know, hallelujah, that's good. And the Bible says too that heaven rejoices when one comes to the kingdom. And when one comes, that heaven rejoices. It doesn't say it rejoices when somebody's blind eyes get opened, or when somebody's deaf ears get opened. It doesn't say it rejoices when somebody gets raised from the dead, or their hurt knee gets healed, or a demon is cast out. Compared to salvation, all of those other things are lesser miracles. Heaven rejoices when somebody gets saved, because as unworthy as we are, and we all know we are, God chose to save us. He took us in filthy rags, gave us the blood of Jesus, and now we are declared the righteousness of God. We are declared righteous because of what he did. That is the true miracle. So everything else compared to salvation is secondary. It's a lesser miracle. Devils, healings, all of that stuff, it's possible. It's possible. So I don't know. I don't know. It was just good. Just good. And I want to tell you guys something. We shared that video, that first video, the thank you video. Honestly, really, 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 thank you. Thank you. That was, yeah, he said it. Without your guys' support, without your guys' help, with, you know, and you guys know the fundraising that we're doing and all of this stuff. And I hope that you got to feel a little bit of what they experienced, what we experienced this week. It was awesome, and you guys helped make it possible, and I know that God provided. He did so much, so much. But I just want to say how proud I am of our youth that were there. So proud, so proud. If you know some of these guys, you know that they can be a little crazy sometimes. I mean, obviously, if they're your kid, you know that they can be a little crazy sometimes. Like Lucy, she was hilarious. We were going to come, and I was telling them all yesterday, reminding them, I said, you guys better be at church because, you know, pastors want everybody to share, and you guys had a lot that God told you about. And Lucy's like, I'm just going to preach. I'm going to preach, and I hope you guys have enough room or enough time because I just feel like I'm going to preach. And I'm just gonna, and I'm like, okay, Lucy, like, pastor said we could have as much time as we want. She's like, good, because I'm just going to get up there, and I'm just going to start preaching. It's funny. They're awesome. And, you know, they were just good examples. They were good examples. And that's what you want. Like, you know what they really know when with what they do when you're not there, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I feel like we've accomplished something when they'll tell us about stuff that they've done. Or other people will tell us about stuff when we weren't there. You know what I mean? Like, you know how David had shared about the guys in the room that were listening to bad music and cussing and doing whatever, and how he had, you know, told them that they need to listen to worship music and all that. Like, I heard that. I heard you telling them in the back of the van. Like, you weren't even telling me. And my ear got, like, this big, you know? Like, I was like, what? And Christina was, like, talking. I'm like, shh, 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 shh. You know, I'm like hearing and just so proud, so proud. And, you know, like Nikki, one night she was sharing with me later, she had felt led to go and pray for one of the other guys that was there, and she did. And just being obedient to the Spirit. There was one day when pre-service, they were like playing some music and everybody was like dancing and stuff. And as people got excited, the music got a little bit questionable, you know, and as it got questionable, some of, like, the kids' moves got a little bit hippie, you know, like, and you're like, whoa, 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 and, you know, and then all of a sudden, I see this pack of girls from our youth group, and Lucy's storming up, and she's like, what is this? What's going on? What are they doing? And I'm like, don't worry about it. I know, I already see, they're taking care of it. Don't worry about it. But it was just awesome that their standards were high enough that they knew what was right and what was wrong, even when the leaders weren't sitting there telling them what was right and wrong. And that is the power of God. When you listen to the Spirit, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever. We are called to shake up our sphere of influence wherever we are, to bring the reality of heaven to where God has planted us, and it be the enforcers of the reign and victory of Christ on the earth. So yeah. I have a lot that I could say, and I won't, because we'll save it. But it was really good, and they were awesome. If you have a chance, we're going to post, or they will be posting online, the video of the dance. Lucy rocked it out, man. Like rocked it out. They had a dance, and I actually have his thing. We met this guy when we went to Hawaii, like, a million years ago for camp. His name is Andrew Winston, and obviously he's a Christian, but he had been like in High School Musical and whatever, like this awesome dancer, and he was there this week, and he had taught them the workshop, and Lucy was in the group of like the best, and they came out, and because they had like, you know, like some solo parts or whatever, and like the moves are like super fast and like really good, and Lucy's over there and her hair is like whipping and like doing all kinds of stuff, and we will be posting links to that stuff when we get the information, but they all just did great. Who was in media? Raise your hand. So we had Nikki, David, and Yvonne in media. Their videos were hilarious. They did like Hunger Game theme, and then worship. Leslie was in worship, and it was really interesting. They had him like playing like this acoustic song with, they were like beating on trash cans, and Leslie and her group were like the ooh or whatever, and then Sabrina was in the drama. The drama was really awesome, really powerful, and then Lucy in dance. So if you have the opportunity, if you are here, and Cottrell was not able to make it this morning. One last testimony, when we were coming back, and Cottrell wasn't feeling good in the car. We had stopped in Amarillo to eat lunch. We had stopped in Oklahoma City, somewhere. We stopped in Oklahoma City to eat lunch, and Catrell hadn't been feeling good, and her stomach had been hurting, and so I had asked the kids, I was going to go pray for her, and I was like, you know, I could go pray for her, or I could have them go do it. And so I had Christina, I said, Christina, go take a couple of the girls, and then all of a sudden I look, and there's no girls. All of them had gone to the bathroom where Catrell was and, like, praying for her and, like, all kinds of, you know, it was just awesome. And so it's just really exciting. We're believing next year to take a lot more kids. They were saying, like, oh, we're going to need a bus or an RV or whatever. So we're just believing for God to do great things. But if you don't feel bad if you weren't able to go this year, I know a few people wanted to go and weren't able to go. The opportunity for God to use you is every day, and it's not just a camp. And I encourage you guys that went to camp, don't forget what you learned. If you took notes, I challenge you to read your notes like once a week or once a month or whatever and just reignite that inside of you. But praise God. Yeah, go ahead. You want to say something?
Hi, everybody. I totally didn't plan on talking. I'm sorry. Don't mean to run on or anything. But this totally fires me up. There's nothing bigger than seeing our kids reaping the benefits of what we pray for. I'm not going to say how much I donated for the trip so that we could help meet that goal. But God put on my heart that I'm going to triple it for next year's trip. So I'm calling you guys, all of you. It's not a coincidence there's more people today than other services. I'm calling all of you to give exceedingly more than what you think you want to give towards the youth, because twice as many youth are going to go plus next year. That's all.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or whatever you want me to do.
Well, thank you. What can I say to follow that up? Please stand to your feet. Everybody, close your eyes and say fire.
Fire.
Say it louder.
Fire.
Fire. One more time. Fire. Fire. Now just keep your eyes closed and start watching. Just watch it burn for a minute. Fire. We want Holy Ghost fire. We want Holy Ghost fire. Last Sunday I preached a sermon, actually taught a lesson on fire. It started in Genesis chapter 3, where God guarded eternal life with a blazing sword. And we walked through the Bible, scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, where the presence of God was made manifest through fire. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He guided the children of Israel, kept them warm, and gave them light with a pillar of fire. Fire. He came when they would offer sacrifices. When God was pleased with the sacrifice, he answered by fire and consumed the sacrifices right out of heaven. Fire, fire, fire. Fire was so important to God. When three would-be martyrs, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went to the fiery furnace, Jesus joined them. I mean, fire. God is, in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. I'm telling you, folks, it's fire time. It's fire time. You can expect to see manifestations of supernatural Holy Ghost fire. Look for the fire. We're seeing fire in our youth. We're seeing what it's doing for them. And we're going to see more and more fire in our churches, in our homes, in our youth, in our people. The fires of God by the Holy Ghost are going to burn, burn, burn. If you'll be on fire for God, you'll be where the action's at. Because everywhere you find the fire in the Word, God is at work, whether he's cleansing, refining, or making his presence known. So get on fire for God like these young people. Let them be an example to us to get on fire for God, and we'll be where the action's at. Everybody say it again. Fire.
Fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost.
Fall on us, Lord.
Fall.
In Jesus' name. Acts chapter 2, there were tongues of fire on their heads when they began to speak in other tongues. Fire. Fire. Fire, fire. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for the example that has been set today through these young people. Lord, we have invested in them. As a church and as parents, we have invested in them, and the investment is paying beautiful dividends. And Lord, we just thank you for the fire that has come home with these young people. And I pray that this fire will kindle a stronger, hotter fire to burn for Jesus, to be on fire of the Holy Ghost for Jesus, to change our families, change our community, change our world for Jesus by being firebrands for God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we invite you, sweet Holy Spirit, to come and make yourself known in, by the fires of heaven, by the baptismal fires of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For those of you who can, please come back at 6 o'clock tonight for Spirit Fire Worship, and we're just going to let the fire burn. Amen. Let the fire burn. Give about 50 people a great big hug and a kiss, and have a great afternoon. We love